5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. No news today, but we do have time for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, March 4th, pianist Leo Genovese's Ritual on 577. More new releases that are out now, multi-instrumentalist Cooper Moore and saxophonist Steve Gauchi's Conversations Volume 2 on 577. Guitarist Ron Jackson's Standards and My Songs on Ronnie Music. Guitarist Jorge Garcia's self-released Dedicated to You. And pianist and composer Eric Wubble's Field of Action, Contrapositions on Out of Your Head. All right, so do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Charles?
Colin, what's 2 and 2?
You know I'm bad at math. Next question.
Awesome.
What's 2 minus 2, Colin? It's nothing. You've got nothing.
That's right. I've done nothing with my life here. We're good to go.
All right. Let's give it a shot. My guests are oboist and bassist Colin Meyer and pianist and accordionist Charles Cousins of the Canadian group Joyride. Their first studio album, self-titled and self-released, is available now. They're joined by the Burlington New Millennium Orchestra. So thank you both for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So before you two became an item, who were you performing with?
Okay, I'll take this one. I've been part of this group called Quartetto Gelato, which is a classical crossover group. And I've been in that group since 2009. Charles has been affiliated with that group since probably, what would you say, Charles, like 1990?
Yeah, like going way back, yes.
Way, way back. And that was as an arranger and a composer. And so we were looking for a new accordion player a few years ago, sort of in an interim position. And Charles just happened to play accordion. And so we brought him into the group as the accordion player. And Charles and I got along well. And then we decided, hey, what if we do something a little bit of a jazzier twist here? And that's how we kind of met and started working together.
Okay. So you basically picked him up, dusted him off, and called him your own.
That's right. We went down to the local in Toronto. There's a local accordion shop. And oh, there's all geez. These. And he was just sitting in the corner, all dusty. That's right. And he was on sale. That's why we got it.
With your combined talents as composer and arranger, choreographer, singer, and dancer, and more, you've both been involved in big shows and dance productions, worked with well-known musicians and actors, scored music for orchestras. It reads like you two were let loose to pursue your creative desires in life. Now, as a duo, what are you doing differently than what you've done before?
Charles, you take this one.
Well, it's a very interesting question because, you know, my career has involved a lot of commissions from various other arts organizations and granting bodies like the Ontario Arts Council, Canada Council, you know, to create musical works, arrangements and compositions for various different kinds of ensembles, you know, so as a composer, arranger, and also as a conductor, you know, I've been very active in the Canadian music scene for a long time doing that. And so, you know, you're always like, you're working for other people in a way, even though you're working for yourself. You know, if I'm writing an arrangement for, you know, or a set of orchestral arrangements for the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra, they've got a certain idea of how they want this whole thing to, you know, to develop and unfold. And so, you know, I have to please them, and then I have to please myself, you know, with the integrity of the work that I do. But with a group like Joyride, we sort of write our own ticket in a way that, you know, we sit down and decide, well, you know, if we're working on a concept album, you know, what's the shape of that album? How are we going to achieve that? And we just let our creative, you know, juices, you know, unfold without necessarily being responsible to anyone else in a way. So it's sort of unbridled passion, as it were, in creating that. And of course, that's exactly what we did with our breakout album, Joyride, is, you know, we came up with what we thought was a very interesting concept for listeners, and then just pulled all the stops out and let it go.
So are you saying that you two have no integrity?
No, we do. We have lots of integrity, but I think more of the integrity was to ourselves, in the sense that, okay, how can we get our message across and make this, you know, album fun and joyful, you know, virtuosic in places. We wanted to really explore, you know, what we could deliver artistically and technically on an album of this particular sort. And it's always a challenge because both of us are, you know, multi-instrumentalists, especially Colin, who, you know, can play at least 14 different instruments, and myself as a keyboardist, as a pianist, and a classical accordionist, of how to, you know, manifest those performances with a great deal of artistry and integrity. But we're, you know, doing that for ourselves in the sense that this is the concept that we came up with. And we tried to, you know, map a way through that would allow us to present that sort of imagery.
Hey, Charles.
Yeah.
Do you remember we had that 8-hour layover at the San Francisco airport?
Oh, it was agony.
Ugh, it was only supposed to be 2, and then it became 8.
Right.
And we're like, what do we do? But we found that wine bar.
Oh, what a fantastic place. Oh, man.
So fun. You had your accordion with you, and I had a glass of wine, and now I'm getting friendly, and I talked to the manager. Hey, do you mind if my friend plays the accordion for everybody?
And Colin, like, what are you doing? No, I don't want to do that.
I know. I'm like, no, he's really good. He's really good. Look, I'll ask permission from everybody around. Everybody said yes, totally do it.
Oh, I know.
You rolled your eyes, and then we played. 10 minutes later, we look up, and there's glasses of wine in front of us.
Oh, yeah, and then there was food.
And there was food. We kept playing. It was like hours had gone by. So much wine and food. People are up singing and dancing. Like, it was one of the most fun, spontaneous, unexpected parties I've ever had in my life.
What a party.
Oh, man. Oh, but what an accordion party!
Yeah.
You know, so let's keep on that and talk about the release. It includes members of the Burlington New Millennium Orchestra that, Charles, you founded.
That's right. I founded that in 2016. Yes.
Yeah. And of the 14 compositions on this release, Charles, you wrote or co-wrote 8 of them.
Yes, I did pretty much all of the arranging on it. And then a few of them are some of my, you know, original compositions that we decided to specifically arrange for Colin and I to you know, perform them. Yeah.
Yeah. So Colin, let me direct this at you. You know, could it be your eclectic and gregarious nature that makes this release a joyride to listen to?
Could it be me? I don't know. I had somebody ask me a question a few days ago, like not an interview, just like, you know, like, what do you sort of hope people would think about you and your music? And it was interesting because I feel like I have tried to do for my whole career, even since university, is like be as genuine and honest with myself. So like, you know, this is pretty much what you see, what you hear with music is who I am at that moment. Like I try and be as genuine and honest. So I guess when we were making this Joyride album, I was trying to be as, you know, maybe I was blocking out the lockdowns and just trying to be as fun and happy and just like la 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 la, it doesn't really exist. And maybe that's the way I approached doing this thing.
Mm. Charles, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
No, he said it all.
Okay, so let's hear the story about the oboist, the accordionist, and the pelicans.
Colin, take the lead on that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that was, we were on tour and we had some time to kill, and you know, up in Ontario here where we live, you know, there it does get warm. It does get quite nice. We do have some beaches, but you know, it wasn't quite like, you know, the beautiful beaches of the West Coast that they can be when you're in California. And I think that's where we were. I can't even remember. But hey, Charles, let's go grab that frisbee. Let's go buy a frisbee from the dollar store. And anyways, I don't know if you did it on purpose or not, Charles. But there he throws it into the pelicans after having a really nice day. And he's like, okay, go get it. It's closer to you. Thanks, Charles. And pelicans, we don't see pelicans up here in Ontario. They don't exist. So whenever you see them, for me, I always feel like they're huge and they seem, I don't know, they seem like they could attack any time. I don't trust them. So that's how that went down. So I don't know, Charles, was it on purpose?
Yeah, because I knew it was you, and I know that pelicans are like geese on steroids. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, I knew that if you foiled into the midst of the pelicans, that you certainly have something to talk about.
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, I've been looking for some sunshine, but I don't see it anywhere. Oh boy, 'cause I'm stuck here in my room and there just ain't no fresh air. But baby, have you heard the news? I got the isolation blues.
Well, I've been keeping my social distance when going up to the store. Yeah. Well, I've been trying to grab what I can before there ain't no more. But baby, have you heard the news? I got the isolation blues.
Well, first it was 2 weeks,
and then it was 4,
and then it was a year. It's growing more and more.
So what are we gonna do if it goes on and on?
Gonna hang around the house from dusk till dawn. So now you know the news.
I got the isolation blues.
Well, gentlemen, when we speak of instruments not frequently seen or heard in jazz settings, the oboe and accordion are definitely two of them. Even the harp and bassoon are more familiar to me in jazz and improvised music these days. Right. Who are some early 20th century jazz players who you've learned from?
Okay, well, I'll start. Yeah, it's very true. There aren't many. And I would also add bagpipes to the list of more involved in cross-genre music than oboe. I've seen them in punk rock bands. So, you know, there's something about the oboe specifically that, yeah, for whatever reason, people don't want to branch out as much. People do. But my inspiration, I remember watching, that was your question, right? Like, what was, more or less, 20th century. Well, there was a band back in 70s called Oregon, and it was with Paul McCandless, who was, phenomenal multi-instrumentalist, and also happened to be, I think his major instrument was the oboe. So that was my first shot at listening to that. And then I would hear Michael Rabinovich on the bassoon. And then Bela Fleck was another one that came out, where he took his banjo. He's a killer bluegrass banjo player. Then all of a sudden he's, you know what? I'm going to do a classical album. Then, you know what? I'm going to do a jazz album. And seeing all these people who are taking these instruments that, very much live in a box, and not only just do a, you know, they excelled at these cross genre things. So those are some of my biggest influences for sure.
Mm. On the accordion, you know, back in the 1940s, the accordion was like really, really popular, not just in Europe, but in the United States. And there were several great jazz accordionists that were, you know, making some waves on the scene at that time. And, you know, as I was growing up and studying the instrument, so I used to, you know, try and seek out recordings of these folks. And that one of them being Leon Sash, another one being Art Van Dam, who was a really, really great bebop jazz accordionist in New York in the 1950s and 60s, and Milton DeLug, out of Los Angeles. So there were several that, you know, I had a chance to listen to. But also as a pianist, I studied both, you know, classical, heavy classical repertoire, and jazz repertoire. So I was, you know, really influenced by players such as Bill Evans and, one of Canada's own, Oscar Peterson, whom I actually knew. And so, you know, you listen to these folks and you take some of that in and hopefully be able to make some of that your own as you go through the learning and experimental, you know, process of studying and practicing and what have you.
Well, gentlemen, we're coming to the end of this interview, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to, you know, is there a question I didn't ask you? Is there something you'd like to tell us about an upcoming gig or project?
Yeah, Charles, go ahead.
I'm involved in another project right now with the Burlington New Millennium Orchestra that we are doing a very sophisticated recording with a jazz vocal a cappella group out of Toronto called Countermeasure. And we're doing we're mixing a cappella with symphony orchestra and right now in the middle of writing those orchestrations. And we'll be recording that in October. And Colin will actually be playing in the orchestra on that. Did you know that, Colin?
Yeah, I'm available.
Okay, good, yeah. Yeah, so we'll be recording that. And that particular project is very largely sponsored by the Canada Council through their digital strategy funding mechanism that they brought in during the pandemic. And so we were awarded a very substantial grant from the Canada Council to actually produce this. So it's quite the project. So it'll be great to have Colin on that as well. And I think that... Joyride is going to be performing with the Collingwood Festival.
It's coming correct? Up in June. I think we're just in June or July.
It's July. Yeah. It's middle of July. I think. We don't have the exact date set up yet. But we're looking forward to that. And, you know, and I think with all arts groups, sort of coming out of this pandemic, that we're looking forward to doing more, you know, live performance, because up to this point in time, you know, most of the stuff that we've been doing has been in a virtual capacity, you know, SingSpace concerts, Zoom and what have you, you know, virtual concerts. So it's been great to be able to do something that's live with a real, you know, live audience, like back to the normal days. And that's very important to us as performers, because, you know, when you perform in front of a live audience, you're getting their feedback, you're getting their energy, you know, coming to you, and it makes you want to give more. So,
Colin, my man.
Yeah. things that are coming up. Well, at Joyride, we're just looking in planning our sort of like not necessarily a release party, but kind of a launch party. We're looking at doing some sort of virtual, very integrated thing through like a digital means. We can have it stream, but not through Zoom, through a different thing called SingSpace. It's very hard to explain, but it's very innovative, very interactive, and that's going to be super fun. We're looking at doing that in the next month and a half or 2 months. We've been discussing with the Burlington New Millennium Orchestra, we've been discussing doing Joyride concerts, because a lot of our music from the album anyway has them in the background, and the music actually seems to suit the context of us with an orchestra. So we're looking at doing stuff like that. We've got we're sending it out, the CDs out, going around to different radio stations and press right now, and we're getting lots of interesting reviews. And you know, we're proud of what we've done here. Like we have chosen to, like Charles said earlier, we've chosen to do this music and perform our instruments in a way that we perform them. We're not trying to be anything else. I'm not trying to be like John Coltrane. I'm just trying to be, just trying to play my oboe in a way that I really like, and with music we really like, and with Charles, who I like you, Charles. I like you too.
Well, that's really nice to know. Thank you, Colin.
We get along really good, and that makes the process so much more fun for us to be able to go from beginning to end and create new music and talk about it. And, we're still coming up with ideas like constantly every time we talk. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, working with Colin is great. It's a really fun, collaborative experience. And it's like any good, you know, relationship that you have to have some chemistry in there, you know, whether it's a business relationship, a musical relationship, or a marriage or whatever. If it's going to be successful, you have to have the communication and the respect of each other, and that's right. You know, no ego, you know, you just get rid of that ego and say, look, you know, this is about our project, this is about the music, and this is what we're trying to do. So you open yourselves up and try and bring in that positive energy.
That's right. Each other. That's right. And so, working with Charles is great, because he's a stone cold legend.
Yeah.
That's that.
I think that was a quote that came out of a review somewhere, wasn't it?
And I'm going to use it all the time, because it's awesome. Oh, no. Stone cold legend.
It makes me think that I want to join the WWE.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestler, right? But yeah, I couldn't believe that when I saw it. Stone Cold Legend. That was kind of cute. it just means that I'm quite a bit older than Colin. That's what it really means. What can I say?
For more information, joyrideconcerts.com. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com, info at wgxc.org, feedback at wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org. My interview is with pianist, composer, arranger, and author Sharp Radway and drummer Camille Gagnier-Jones. Radway's new release on Radway Music is titled Black Woman, A Conversation. So thank you both for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Glad to be here.
So Sharp, what is it about Black women that inspired this release?
Well, let me first say this. Everything that I do musically, if it's composition or arranging, a recording project like this, it's very deeply spiritual experience that I would say is divinely inspired. You know? I would say that ultimately the inspiration comes from the Most High, you know. And for this record, having that inspiration, you know, my first record, I did a record pretty much in homage to the Most High. And I thought, okay, where do I go from here? And I thought about how we as the human race showed up. I thought about Eve, you know? I said, you know what? I think I want to do something for the Black woman, the one who started this human life, you know? So I started from there, you know, and I took into consideration Black women, not just from any particular era, but from Mother Eve to all the Black women who will be here in the future, you know? And you can tell from some of the titles of the songs that I'm dealing with some African queens. And then we, you know, we travel through time, we got Mother Eve in there. We travel through time, end up with Henrietta Lacks. And there's a song in there also for Who's Next. There's a song in there called Who's Next, which is for Black women who are not here yet. We might not get here for another, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years. You know? Yeah, but we wanted to send some love out to them. Yeah, so you inspire me, you know. Camille inspires me. The women on the project inspired me. My mother inspired me. Some of my pastors and Sunday school teachers and school teachers inspired me. You know? My mother, my grandmother.
Yeah.
The ancestors, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I must tell you, I found much truth and intimacy shared in this release. Mm-hmm. Have you always been affirmative of Black women's confident nature, honesty, innate smarts, and resilience?
I hope so. You know, regardless of whether or not I affirm it, that's what it is, you know? They are all those things and more than what you just said, but I do affirm that, you know, and as far back as I can remember, I have.
Camille, as one of the women and musicians involved in Black Woman, a conversation. How were you brought into Sharp's creative process?
Well, you know, Brother Sharp, as he stated, you know, it's a spiritual journey for him. And it was also a spiritual journey for all that were a part of the project. And he wrote compositions that kind of, you know, spoke to my personality. You know, he had concepts. He, you know, gave you different, a storyline that went with the, you know, the title, the music, you know, and it just kind of all, you know, came together like that. You had a vision to work with, you know. So, you know, I try to bring that out in songs, you know, a lot of beautiful arrangements, you mm-hmm. know. So there's a lot of things, you know, you had to be on your toes, you know. You know, volume changes, tempo changes, you know. You know, he's a great arranger, writer, improviser, all of that. And so I learned a lot too, because he's very meticulous about his music and his writing, his charts. And it was just a great experience. Beautiful person, no crazy attitudes or egos. And so all that makes the process, you know, especially when you like playing with somebody and, you know, you love the way they play. And, you know, you hold them as a person, as a man, most important, and a band leader in very high esteem. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's kind of how, you know, the whole, you know, it's like a complete package, you know, because you can do anybody's session. It doesn't necessarily mean that you care anything about them or their music. You're just there for the paycheck. But yeah. When, you know, when all those things are there, it's really, really special. And it's not laborious. It's you know, it's fun and free flowing.
And it sounds like he gave you creative license to
that's what I mean. Improvise. This is, I wanted to go, you know, I had this idea in mind and I just took it from there.
Yeah.
You know, Camille brings a lot to the table, you know. Anything that I've done musically with her, she's always brought a lot to the table. Whether or not it was a job that I hired her for, a job she hired me for, or someone else hired both of us to work with them, you know. And some of the things that I really appreciate about her, because you spoke about how she, you're asking about how she affects my artistry. She brings a number of things to the table. She brings humility to the table. She brings open-mindedness to the table. She brings a lot of music, a lot of tradition to the table from different genres. But also one thing that's very special about her that I really appreciate is she doesn't make any assumptions, you know? She makes informed decisions when she's playing, but she doesn't make assumptions. And that allows me a certain amount of freedom, and it affords me a certain level of comfort when I work with her. You know, when I work with her, I know the drummer's got my back. I know she's got my back.
Yes,
I want her to, as I do with any musician that works with me, I want them to be free enough to fully express themselves. And I love when the drummer does that because they have all these great rhythmic ideas, you know? I'm like, they start playing so much.
Yeah, we be wilding out, we be going crazy.
Yeah.
We're having a party.
But she's a very special person. In fact, everybody on this record, I don't know how I got all these people with me, but they're all such very beautiful. I mean, you're talking some very beautiful people on this record. Everybody, you know, everybody, mm-hmm. beautiful people. So I'm so honored to know them and have friendships with them. And we're blessed to share the same time and space and make some music together, you know.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
daughter, what can I tell you that your spirit does not already know? May I be your holy reminder? You are the creative spark of source energy. Distinguish yourself as such. You are never alone. The ancestors protect and guide you. There is no separation. You, the ancestors, and Source are one. What a holy trinity. You are endowed with noble gifts and talents beyond your wildest imaginings. Explore your inner world and listen to the yearnings of your soul. Guard your thoughts, beloved daughter, for thoughts are your queendom, the queendom you rule. Take in only good, for what you put in is what you get out. Make service a part of your greatness. Be a positive example for all you encounter. Don't forget, lay a foundation for those who are yet to be born.
So when the two of you shared the concept of the release with your colleagues, for you, Camille, your female colleagues, for Sharp, your male colleagues, friends and family, what was their general reaction?
Well, everybody kind of, like I said, we're all good friends as well. And we were there for Sharp, you know, and to, you know, bring his creation to life. And I mean, yeah, it was challenging because it was, like I said, the arrangements are really, really incredible. And yeah, everybody came and brought their A game, you know, because they're great people first, and then they're professionals, and you know, they care about, you know, how they sound and how, you know, when you're doing somebody's recording, you also want to be able to have enjoyment in listening to it as well. No, because you'll do somebody's record, you'll never listen to it. But this record I listened to over and over, and I wore it out. Everybody, you know, hey, we came together and we made it happen. You know, they were on their A game.
Now, Camille, when you talked with your female colleagues and friends and family, were they as receptive?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. And Sharp, when you spoke with your male colleagues and friends and family, what was their reaction?
Well, okay, so their reaction was very positive and affirming. Now you have to understand that I shared this record with the likes of you know, my beloved mentor Randy Weston, and he was totally excited to hear this record, you know. He couldn't wait to hear it, but you know, he made his transition before it was released.
Right.
But he's getting the sounds, you know, every time it plays or we play the music off of the record, I'm sure he's enjoying those sounds. And also Candido, you know, who is on the record. I believe this is the last record that he recorded. And I think he's 98 at the time.
98, yes.
Record somewhere around there. Yeah, and he was very affirming, you know. They're very affirming with the Black woman. And I find that, you know, I can't think of any male that I know, who's a close colleague of mine, who doesn't share the same sentiments that I have and that Randy Weston and Candido Camero had, you know. Yeah, I've only gotten positive feedback. Very positive feedback.
Good.
The more you study history, the more you have understanding and empathy of why certain situations are the way they are. The reason we're misunderstood is because a lot of people don't understand history. Mm. They don't read up on it, or, you know, real history, you know, because there's always a start, the middle,
and an end. So you always, you know, you want to understand, take the time, you know.
So get out, in your get opinion, out yourself. When you say the black woman is misunderstood, is a person who's misunderstood?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at the type of propaganda and the media that's out there, I mean, if you're not a person that understands history, you believe that stuff. Because, you know, you're not dealing with history. You're dealing with a fantasy. And propaganda is to control the minds of people, to control how they think of you and how they interact with you. So if your only access to black women is through the TV and other outlets that are, you know, very disparaging and disrespectful, you'll think that's real, and that's how you should interact with us. Because you have to be able to discern between the truth and fantasy, you know, and also control, you know, control and domination, dealing with propaganda, you know.
Sharp, your book, Musicianship 101, What They Don't Tell You in School, published in 2015 and now in its second edition, quote, is essential reading for any full-time musician, aspiring full-time musician, or music teacher. Sharp Radway reveals priceless secrets and invaluable information in this book that will guarantee success in both the career and life of any full-time musician. My question to you is, how much of this book is biographical and how much of it is observational?
Oh, all right. Well, that was a very interesting question. I like that question. A couple of things. First, the book, I wrote the book, believe it or not, in 2008. Now, this is my first writing endeavor. So by the time it was published, by the time I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's, it was 2010. So it took a couple years before it was out there. But the book is a book of bullet points. I think there's maybe not a whole lot, maybe 232 or something like that, bullet points. Basically do's and don'ts if you want to pursue a career in music. Now, some of these things, you asked about it being biographical. Some of these things that I discuss in the book are things that I'm sharing from my own personal experience. And some things are a part of my experience, but indirectly through observation. You know? So just watching what's going on around me as I did different types of work, you know, seeing what works for musicians, what doesn't work for musicians, what helps musicians along on their career, what is kind of like those things that can be thought of as career killers, you know. So I address a lot of those things. But also, I also talk about like health and wellness and stuff like that. I also talk about things, you know, to practice or things to think about when you practice. And it just covers a whole host of things.
Would you consider your book a guide for this new release?
A guide? In what sense?
Well, did it help you to bring this release to its fruition?
No.
No.
But, you know, the things in that book, you know, even though I wrote that book, I still need to read that book and do everything that's in there.
Right.
I still need to do that, you know? I'm due for a reread right now.
Y'all need to read it again myself.
I do think it's because I've lived by some of those things in the book, as well as all of the musicians who participate in this project. I think because we've adapted those things in our lives, over the years, it caused our paths to intersect, you know, for this moment where we created Black Woman, a Conversation, you know. So yes, the contents of that book did pave a road, you know, or the roads that met at that intersection.
And Camille, it sounds like you've read a few pages from it.
Yeah, definitely. I've read the whole thing. When I first got it 4 years ago.
And what have you derived from it? What have you learned from it? What are some of the concepts that you've adopted into your personal life and your musical life?
Well, for me, you know, there's a lot of basics that you would be surprised that a lot of people don't have in their careers, you know, such as being on time, dressing properly for a gig, shining your shoes, you know, people show up and have, you know, I mean, to me, that's your shoes being clean, you know, that says a lot about, I mean, for me, I mean, like, no, those kind of things, you know, just your appearance. You don't have to have on $1,000 suit, but come prepared for the job, you know, being on time, just showing up is the whole job, really, basically. That's part, you know, one of the biggest parts. You know, dress appropriately, have them be prepared, have the music together, and, you know, be able to get along with people. I've seen more people lose jobs because they're, you know, incapable of, you know, getting along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't have all your business out in the street. Do the job first, then, you know, fall out drunk somewhere. I mean, but you just don't want to be, you don't want to be a burden, you know, to,
right,
you know,
right.
Band leader, to the, you know, because you're representative of that, you know, that person that's hired you, and you're there to make them look good and sound good. So those are things that I strive for. And that's a lot of, you know, those are some things that's also, you know, in Sharp's book. And hey, I've gotten more gigs because people don't have those things together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just showing up, you know, be pleasant. I mean, people show up like, you know, they're getting ready to, yeah, be put on the firing line or something. Do you want to play music or don't you?
Well, you two, as we come to the end of this interview, I want to ask the two of you, is there something I didn't ask you? Is there something that you would like to tell us? You are free to do that. Why don't we start with, I don't know, one of you. Go ahead.
Well, I'll go first. You know, just know that life is a journey. There's many hills and valleys, and just stay positive and, you know, try to find what's in the journey. Why is there, you know, you can come out of it. You can come out of it, you know, having learned some new things and traveling a new road and, you know, another chapter in your life, you know. And Brother Sharp has helped me in so many ways, you know, with my husband transitioning and recently. And so that was a journey. And then having such a great friend, such a Sharp, and just, you know, just want to let the listeners know that, hey, you can, there's been a lot going on these last 2 years because of COVID. And so, yeah, there's always a rainbow at the end of the journey or as you go through your journeys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, hey, music is a blessing and it's a life source.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can always rest assured and find, listen to some good music, listen to Sharp's record.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll come into the sunshine.
Good advice.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sunshine. You know, I've heard pretty much every Black woman that has purchased or been gifted with this record, they come back and give me feedback and they say that it's inspiring or uplifting or healing or, you know, a blessing, you know, different things along those lines to say about this record. So, you know, even though it is my record, I think everyone should get this record, not just because it's my record. But yeah, that seems to be some pretty sincere feedback that I've been getting back consistently. Mm. And I find it, you know, Camille, you know, I go back and listen to this record sometimes. I listen to the conversations on there. And for me, it's a learning experience. I hear things differently, you know, since the time that we did the first session until now, you know, with the conversations that you hear throughout the record. And so it's also a learning experience. It's really an enriching experience. It's also a learning experience. So, and that was really, you know, those are really some of the reasons why I made the record. To lift Black women up, inspire, encourage, you know, bring some healing if necessary through the music, you know. And the topics that you hear discussed throughout the record, man, there's something to listen to, you know, but they're there for everybody. So I think they're worth a listen.
Yeah. And I just think also just to take a lot of courage to have a record entitled Black Woman.
Yes.
You know, somebody said that to me the other day, but I don't even feel like that. I feel like, I mean, come on.
I mean, because like, well, what about everybody? You know, it's like, yeah. You know, we're never supposed to affirm us, you know, we're not supposed to delineate, you know.
Well, you know what?
Everybody else, but we're supposed to, you know.
Well, you know what? This, I've gotten feedback not just from Black women now, I've heard from all people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and they seem to enjoy the record just as much, you know? So it's for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're gonna enjoy it. I was just saying the title.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
But the reception has been, I didn't know how people would receive it, but to my delighted surprise, you know, people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful record. I wore it out.
I just wanted to encourage people, you know, man, we've been on this planet, you know, humans, we've been on this planet for so long, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and we can't seem to get it together, you know. You know, I still believe in, and I, you know, I try to live by love and peace, you know, I'm trying my best. Sometimes I drop the ball, but I just wanted to encourage your listeners, you know, to, try and spread some peace and some love out here, you know? Yeah, we can use it, right? I know we can use it, some love and some peace. So that's all. I just wanted to share that.
For more information, sharpradway.com.
Hello, my darling son. I was just calling to see how you're doing. I don't know where you are, but I guess you are very busy. But as usual, I want to let you know how much I love you. So whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, and let God lead and guide you wherever you go. Let him be a light to your pathway and a lamp to your feet. May God bless you. And don't forget that I love you dearly, my son. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host The Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you. We'll be right back.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.